Hello, and welcome to the PixiePearls.com podcast. Today we're going to be talking about spinning, online knitting forms, yarn, and of course, patterns. Before we get started, though, I thought I'd talk a little bit about my plans for my podcast. I've had a lot of time over the last 7 days to think about it. I've also gotten a lot of great feedback from you guys, and I just want to thank everyone for all the great emails. It's been really exciting to get the feedback and know that at least somebody out there is enjoying listening to me. I've decided that for my podcast, I'm most definitely not going to be playing music. It's not that I have anything against music, it's just that I myself am pretty particular about what music I'll listen to, and I figure if I try to put my taste on you guys, I might scare a couple of you off. Also, as much as I enjoy all the other podcasts, I find myself skipping the music. So I decided that for my podcast, I wouldn't have any music in between. With that said, however, I'm still trying to find some good bumper music to put at the beginning and the end, as well as trying to find a way to split up the segments of what I'm talking about and a way to give myself a break when I'm talking, and I think it'll also make it easier to edit. So I've been out there looking for some music to put in between each of my segments, and I still haven't quite found what I'm looking for, as well as getting permission to use music. I've decided that for my podcast, I want to talk pretty much all about knitting. I'm not going to do movie reviews or book reviews or anything like that, unless it's specifically knitting related. But I've also decided that I will talk about myself a little bit so that you guys can get to know me. Now, as for the audio quality of my podcast, it's still probably pretty low. I updated GarageBand. I think I have like GarageBand 3 now, and I had GarageBand 2 originally a week ago. And once I've done 3 podcasts, then I will allow myself to go out and buy a proper microphone and equipment. I figure at that point, I'll know if I can keep up with doing it weekly. All right, so here we go. On with the show. So tonight, I'm going to be talking about spinning, which I am really excited to talk about because spinning is one of my favorite things to do. So before I explain to you what spinning means to me, I'll go ahead and tell you the story of how I started spinning. I had seen, of course, spinning online, in blogs, in magazines, and actually at, I guess it's Barnes & Noble, I had seen Spinoff magazine, and I have to say I actually like the patterns and the cover and the designs in Spinoff better than most of the other knitting magazines. So I had actually picked it up once, probably well over a year ago, and then sometime after that I had gotten a drop spindle. I picked up at least 2 different kinds of spindles. I think there's like a bottom whorl and a top whorl or something like that. All I can tell you is that I did not enjoy the drop spindle. Everything I did on it looked awful. I had trouble having it not break when I was letting it swing down, and it was just a disaster. And of course, I didn't have anyone in person to teach me how to use it. So I think on my blog, I have some pictures from like well over a year ago where I had spun some yarn and I was all excited, but I really didn't like it and I put it away for about a year. Then of course, a while later, spinning wheels started to become more popular on blogs and a lot of people were buying them and they were posting pictures of the wheels that they purchased. And so I wanted to take spinning lessons because I knew the wheels cost, you know, a couple $100s. In fact, they can range pretty high into the thousands. So I thought, okay, well, I'll go take a lesson and see what this is all about because I really did not like using the drop spindle. So I called Quilted Hearts, which is a quilting slash knitting store located a little ways from my house. And I went there and I talked to the owner, and the spinning lady only comes in on like Wednesdays. And of course, I work full time, so that's not something I can do is go during the day. So after several months of playing phone tag, I finally arranged for her to be there on a Saturday so that I could take a lesson. And in fact, at the same time, I had been trying to run this meetup.com knitting group around the area that I work. And so I invited one of the girls from there to go with me to the spinning lesson because she had a Louette spinning wheel that she had bought at a conference or a festival of some sort. And she had said, yeah, I'd really like to learn how to spin on it because I bought it and I haven't been using it. So we both met up there on a Saturday and I sat down on the wheel and we had some Coopworth roving, and I really hope I pronounced that correctly. So at first, it was pretty difficult. I'll tell you that I spent the first 10 minutes struggling, and I remember sitting there thinking to myself, you know, I don't think I can make it through this hour lesson, and I really don't think spinning is for me. So I got up, I looked around for a few minutes, looked at yarn, just sifted through some magazines. And finally, I went back to the teacher because I was having trouble with when the yarn breaks. Well, I guess it's not really yarn yet, but when it breaks and then you have to reattach and get it to catch. That's what I just could not do. So, of course, when you first are learning to spin, it's going to keep breaking off and getting sucked in to the wheel. So you have to have a good hold on how to make it reattach in order to not want to go crazy. So I took a deep breath. I had her show me one more time, and I sat down, and I tried again. And suddenly, it was just like magic. I figured it out. I understood how to make the puffballs catch with the yarn that's twisting, and I just sat there and spun for an hour, and it was awesome. So after that lesson, I went online, and I was researching spinning wheels. And I really didn't like how the Luette looked, and they had gone up in price, so they were like, I think, $450. And I thought it was, I don't know, I just thought it was kind of an ugly wheel. It didn't appeal to me. So after researching online, I found out that Lendrums were very popular. And the nicest thing about the Lendrum is that it can fold. And I thought that would be really great, because then I could take it up on trips to Virginia to see my family and show my mom, because she always likes to see me do all that kind of stuff. So then I began calling around Georgia, trying to find somebody who would sell a Lendrum who I could go in and try the wheel. But of course, no one in Georgia sold Lendrums, at least none that I could find at the time that I was looking. During my research, however, I did find out about the Peachtree Hand Spinners Guild, and there were some women there who had told me about their Distaff Day celebration, which was around New Year's, and they had said I could come and I could try on their wheels because several of them had Lendrums. But at that point, I got kind of anxious, and I really, really, really missed spinning like I had done that day. And so I talked to my husband, told him I was going to look online. He really wanted me to take a couple more lessons, but I knew I had been bit by the spinning bug. So I got my name on a waiting list online. I figured, well, okay, I'll go to Distaff Day, and I'll probably get the wheel a week later or 2 weeks later, and if for any reason I didn't like spinning on it there, I can just cancel it, because there was a long waiting list for this particular wheel. So then, of course, I wrote about it on my blog, and I had said, yay, I'm going to get a spinning wheel, I'm on the waiting list. And then I think not like a day or two later, someone had commented to my blog letting me know that the Fold still had spinning wheels. And I think it was Kara of January 1 who had told me that. So, of course, what did I do? I went and I called the Fold and I ordered the wheel, which was very bad of me, but of course I don't regret it. And the women at the Fold were so nice. They had my wheel sent out to me a week later, and this was right around Christmas time. So I had used all my Christmas money from my mom and my aunt, and my birthday's in December, so I combined my birthday money. So basically, I didn't have to pay for the wheel. My mom and my aunt did. So I went ahead and bought it because I had had that money. And I was so excited, and it came like within 5 days, and it came with a free Nitty Naughty and a huge 2-pound bag of wool. And I'll tell you something, I like to think that I'm a fairly intelligent woman. I work in the technology industry, I have a college degree, you know, there's a few brain cells up there. And putting together that spinning wheel, okay, putting it together was easy, but that whole little tension knob thing with the rubber band on it, I had no clue what I was doing. I mean, totally clueless. I'm sitting there staring at the thing, and I emailed Kara at January 1, and I was like, oh my gosh, you have to help me. I have no idea how to put this thing together and make it work. It's not pulling any yarn through. Nothing's happening. Nothing's doing anything that it's supposed to. So Kara had me call her up, and she walked me through it on the phone, and I got the wheel working perfectly, and I was so excited. It was awesome. I think that first week I spun through a pound of roving of a bunch of Corriedale, which of course I'm probably not pronouncing correctly, but there you go, hopefully I am, and then some Coopworth, and eventually I made a hat out of that burgundy yarn that I had spun up. But let me tell you about why I love spinning, okay? Spinning for me is so very different than knitting. Knitting for me is almost frustrating. Unless I'm on a sock and I'm knitting straight stockinette in the round, or like the waist of a sweater that doesn't involve any increases, I stress it, because every time I have to sit there and think, and I have to use the counter, and I have to count 3 rows and remember to increase, whatever it may be, it's not that I'm not enjoying it, it's just that I don't like messing up. I'm very much a perfectionist in that realm when I do things and I make things. So for me, for whatever reason, knitting just doesn't come like this natural thing where I just make it up as I go. I don't mind improvising. That's just not my personality with knitting. I'm very particular. I want it to look like the picture that the sweater pattern looked like. I don't want to change it. I want it to be perfect. I'm just really super picky. So needless to say, when it comes to my knitting, that's why I have a hard time finishing things. Besides that, I like to multitask and I like to jump from project to project. I also want it to be just so. And that is what hinders me from finishing things more often than I could. So with spinning, I can't explain it. When I'm spinning yarn in my fingers, the only thing that I can think to compare it to, which is bad of me to do because I've never done this, is making pottery. When I'm spinning the yarn in my fingers, I can feel how the twist is going in, and if I press and pinch it and make it more flat, or if I let my fingers caress it more, it affects how it comes out, and I can just feel it. I can close my eyes, whatever. It's awesome. To me, it feels like I'm sculpting something. I guess that's a better way to say it. The other thing that I don't do with spinning that I do with knitting is I got very few books on it. I didn't do a lot of research, and I don't want to do a lot of research. It's just completely different for me than how knitting is. When I spin, I don't like to worry about how many twists per inch or the method that I'm using. I just enjoy it. It is so fun. And ever since I started spinning, I will tell you this. When I knit, you're not going to hear me humming when I knit. I'm probably going to be watching TV, have the pattern on my lap. I'm going to be looking at the pattern a lot. I'm very focused. And if my husband talks to me, I'm probably not even going to hear him. But when I spin, I hum. I don't even know I'm humming. I was humming one time some song I'd heard on the radio. My husband walked in and he was like, "What are you doing?" And I was like, "I am enjoying myself. This is awesome." So for me, spinning and knitting are just very different. The way I feel when I do them, what I get out of them, are just two very different things. I also really prefer the Koopworth. It's spelled Koopworth. I like spinning with that better than a lot of the other stuff I've spun with. Now, I am dying to spin with alpaca, and my secret pal actually got me a bit of alpaca that I've been hoarding away and saving. I want to go ahead and finish the fire Koopworth roving that I have that I've been pretty much procrastinating on, but I want to finish that, and then I'm going to try the alpaca. The problem is, if I like the alpaca, I'm going to want to go out and buy some more alpaca roving, and it's just as expensive as the yarn, pretty much. I think if you like merino roving's not really that expensive. A lot of soft wools, not that expensive, but the alpaca, it's still really expensive. So I got a Lendrum, and a Lendrum is from Canada, and there's actually an old back issue of Spinoff magazine that talks all about the Lendrum wheels. I went ahead and ordered it. It didn't have quite as much information as I thought it would, but it was still, you know, it was fun to read about the guy who made my wheel. And a lot of online knitters, I think, and spinners have this particular wheel. It's very popular. I like it because it's ergonomic and the mother of all is on top of the wheel, so it's straight in front of you, so you're not having to twist at all. And it's also a double treadle, which means it has basically two pedals. And I like that because I like that I'm using both of my legs, so there's balance in the exercise that I'm getting. Because if you ever try to ply on a wheel, that's exercise because you are pounding your feet while you're going, and it takes a little bit of energy. So yeah, while we're on the topic of spinning, I can go ahead and go into my next topic, which is online knitting forums. When I first learned to knit, which was in, I believe, April of 2004, I think I was engaged and I was planning the wedding and we had just moved into the house and I was just needing something to distract me and I was wanting to have something to do with my hands. And how it actually happened was, I just suddenly wanted to crochet a blanket. Don't ask me why, where the thought came from. I don't remember reading anything. I don't remember seeing it in a movie. I don't remember anyone saying it to me. I just wanted to go to Michael's and learn how to crochet. So I remember I went and I bought this yarn that I still have to this day. It was some TLC, kind of like in a mermaid-y colorway with these blues and these greens, which, of course, are my favorite colors. And I went and I got a crochet hook. And I remember picking out the right size hook and reading the ball band, and I got enough yarn to make the afghan. And then I had called up a lot of friends that I knew trying to figure out how to crochet, because when I'm first learning something, I don't do very well with directions. I do much better hands-on, learning in person, seeing a person do it, have them correcting me and showing me how to do it. So I called around, I asked some friends, and no one my age seemed to know how to crochet. I wound up calling a woman that I went to college with when I went to art school. She's an older woman, really cool friend of mine, has a daughter a little bit younger than me, and she knew how to do, I think, a double chain crochet stitch, and she kind of taught me, and she wasn't even sure she knew how. So I thought, okay, you know, this is getting crazy, I'm just going to go take a class. And I had gone ahead and I had started that blanket with that hook. I think I had figured out how to do the chain on my own, but the stitches to me were just really confusing. So I thought, okay, I'll take a crocheting class so I'll learn how to do all the stitches. So I signed up for this class at, what was the name of the store? It's Cast On Cottage in Alpharetta, Georgia. And when I showed up to class the first night, I had my crochet hook and they were like, "Where's your knitting needles?" And I was like, I thought this was a crochet and knitting class. And they were like, "No, this is a knitting class." Apparently, I didn't know that there was really a big difference. So I think I picked out some Plymouth yarn and I went ahead and learned in that class. Though we spent the first hour learning to cast on and I had a very hard time with it. So yeah, that's the story of how I began to knit. And the reason I'm talking about that is because I was on the TKGA knitting forum. And that stands for the Knitting Guild of America, I believe. And there was not a lot of active people on there, but they were very helpful to me, and that's where I started. Sometime after that, I discovered blogs and all that good stuff, and then I discovered Knitter's Review Forum. The Knitter's Review Forum is a really great resource. The address for that website is knittersreview.com, and I think to go to the forums, you can follow the links, or just do right-leaning/ and then the word forum. And so I went there when I wanted to learn how to spin, and they have a fairly active spinning forum. Most of the knitting boards that I've found don't have big spinning sections, but the Knitter's Review Forum does, and I think there was like three or four of us on there all at the same time who were waiting on our Lendrum spinning wheels, and we were all posting like we were tracking the boxes, or, "Ooh, the box arrived at my house," and we'd take pictures of the box and putting it together, and we shared our first spinning experiences, and that was a lot of fun, and you learn a lot, and it helps you get excited and motivated, and if you're at work and you're on your lunch break and you check it out and you go there and you see something somebody spun, you're excited when you get home and you want to spin. For me, what's it we always say on the blogs? Enabler. You're an enabler. You enabled me to spin, to knit, whatever. Usually probably to spend money. So yeah, I recommend the Knitter's Review Forum. I think it's a great resource. There's actually a thread going on right now. If you go in the, it's like called Random Knitting Related Things. There's a whole thread right now that has like 5 pages of posts where they're talking about, I think the woman was, it was a lady who was trying to decide whether she should buy yarn from her local yarn store or whether she should buy it online. And the yarn was marked up $5 in her local yarn store. Now, I'm of the opinion that, you gotta save a dollar when you can save a dollar, but I also do want to support my local yarn stores. So when I go into my local yarn store, it's usually not to buy a specific yarn. I just go in there to get inspired, and if I see something I like, I buy it. I don't worry about if there's better prices online. But when I'm planning out a project, and for example, I want to get the Debbie Bliss Bolero from her Simply Soft book that I recently bought, I found a website in England called Cucumber Patch on eBay, which, by the way, is a secret resource of mine. And those who know it love it, because most of the yarn on that website is $2 to $5 cheaper than you could get it in any of the U.S. yarn stores. And I mean both online and in your knitting stores. It's called Cucumber Patch. And if you do a search for it on Google, you'll find their eBay store as well as their .com. I forget what the web address is, but just search for Cucumber Patch in Google. And the best part is, even though they're located in England or in the UK somewhere, it's like a week or two to get here, and it comes fast, I know, because I've ordered at least 2 packages from them. So yeah, if I'm planning out a project and I know it's going to be a lot cheaper overall, I'm probably going to get it online because I can save like $20. I'm pretty sure on the Debbie Bliss yarn, on the Cashmere Merino Chunky, I saved $20 by getting it from Cucumber Patch than any of the U.S. online retailers. That's also how I got my Colinette 0.5. I got it for $10 a skein, and that's pretty good. Okay, I just said skein, and I think it's actually pronounced skein. You know, when I went into a knitting store in Atlanta a couple weeks ago, the time when I had my little parking accident, I said skakel, you know, skakel knitting needles, and the lady was like, no, it's skasel. Of course, I thought that was hilarious because I'd only ever seen it written. I'd never heard anyone pronounce it before. Okay, so before I keep babbling on, I'm going to let you know about the other 2 favorites that I have for online knitting communities and forums. There's Knitty.com. They have an excellent forum, and their spinning forum isn't that active right now. It might get more active, but I think most people go to the Knitter's Review if they want to talk about spinning. And then I think one that's a little lesser known is Craftster.org. That one is awesome. They have a whole knitting section. I love it. There are people over there who will go to Anthropology, and they'll see this beautiful little capelette or this little bolero, and they'll write up the pattern, they'll make it up themselves, you know, mimicking the style, and then like 20 other people will knit it and post pictures of their version. It's awesome. It's extremely creative. It's a really fun crowd. So that concludes the list of my favorite online knitting forums. Okay, onward to today's yarn. Today's yarn is Diacato Diadomina. Now, I probably said that wrong too, so I'll make sure that I include a link to it at podcast.pixiepearls.com. The Diacato yarn is awesome. It's also kind of hard to find online. I know that Threadbare carries it, specifically the Diadomina, and I love this stuff. The best use for it that I've found is for a multi-directional scarf. If you go to images.google.com and you search for multi-directional scarf, I think at least 3 of those on the first page of results are actually done in that particular yarn. I've completed 2 multi-directional scarves, and if you go to my website in the right-hand side, you clicked on Finished Objects, I have both of those scarves in my little gallery. And the bigger, wider one that I did in the greens and the olive color, I gave to my mom, even though later I found out she was allergic to wool. You would think that I would have known that. She was a little angry that I didn't remember that she was allergic to wool, but honestly, when I grew up, we didn't wear a lot of wool sweaters, so it wasn't something I really thought about. So I felt pretty stupid when I had done that for her, but she loved it anyway, and she was like, no, I'll wear it over my coat, it's beautiful. So then after that, or I think even during the time that I was knitting that, I went back out to my local yarn store, who at the time carried this yarn, and I got a lesser amount of it, and I knit up a really skinny one that I just love. I actually still enjoy wearing that scarf, and I'm not a big scarf person. So I'll make sure to include a link to it at podcast.pixiepearls.com. But this particular yarn is made up of 59% wool and 29% nylon and 21% mohair. There is 122 yards, and I believe it knits up at 5 stitches per inch. I actually haven't purchased any of this yarn in a while, but I think I was blog surfing or something and someone mentioned it, and I thought, oh my gosh, I have to write about that yarn because that was awesome yarn. The problem with it is that it tends to range from $12 to $15 a ball in the States. That's pretty expensive for 122 yards, so that's why on the second scarf that I made that was thinner, I only bought, I think, 1 or 2 balls because I wasn't really all about spending $45 on a scarf, which is a lot of money, but it's pretty irresistible when you see it. I think Threadbare, if you search like one of the blog archives, has pictures of some of the colors that they have or had. You probably could email them and they'd let you know what colorways they had, but I just love that yarn, and if my local yarn store ever has it again, I'll probably buy it if I see it. Okay, so next up, my favorite thing to talk about, knitting blogs. I love talking about knitting blogs because I read so many of them and it's so fun to read them. If you do not have a knitting blog and you would like to try, you can go to blogger.com and I think you just sign up and they'll take you through the instructions of how to set up a blog. It's a lot of fun. I'm a little bit geeky about it. I like to blog almost every day after work. I read knitting blogs all the time. It's definitely a current part of my life. So the blog we're going to be talking about today is twoleftneedles.com. And I call her my Gomi because in her blog posts, at the bottom of each one, you know, it says the name of the person who posted, and she's the only one who posts in her particular blog. It says my Gomi, and that's how I say it, and that's how I refer to her. And her blog is a lot of fun. If you like to spin, and you like to knit, and you like to dye yarn or fiber, it's just a feast for the eyes. Her first page right now, if you scroll all the way down and you just look at the photographs, it's just amazing. She has a fantastic eye for color. She's an extremely talented spinner and an extremely talented dyer, or whatever you would call somebody who does that. And I highly recommend her blog. I think you should go check it out right now. And she also just finished knitting a sweater. And it's called a creamsicle tee, and I think she was having some issues around the neckline, and she was redoing it. And it just looks so cute. It looks so awesome. I'm so proud of her. Everything she does is just beautiful. But what is really cool is she has started knitting on the Grumparina magnets pattern that I talked about last week. So she's going to be knitting that at the same time I am. And speaking of that pattern, I am in the waist decreases. I am on row 10 of the 18 rows of decreases that I need to do. There's a decrease row every 3 for 6 times, or whatever it is. Love math, 18 rows. Then after that, I have to knit for 1.5 inches, and I think I'm done. And I have to tell you, it was really hard to put down the needles to record this podcast, because if I wouldn't have recorded this podcast, I would have finished tonight. So that's how much I love you guys. I'm very excited to finish this pattern because I haven't finished anything since the baby sweater, which was about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I thought a really good goal for myself would be, while I'm recording these podcasts, if I could have a finished object like once a month, so once out of every 4, I would be extremely proud of myself. So it's a really fun summer knit. You can knit it out of cotton or a linen or a cotton wool mix. I'm using Debbie Bliss Cathay, which it's a little splitty, but you know, it's a really pretty yarn and I really can't wait to try it on. So that is my blog spotlight of the week. I don't have any special patterns to talk about this week. I guess I mentioned the Debbie Bliss Simply Soft Bolero pattern. That's worth mentioning. I think it's a really pretty pattern. I actually, funny enough, when I went into my local yarn store to buy some 12mm knitting needles for a Colinette jacket that I had gotten the 0.5 for, I'd gone in there. I wanted to get the needles online so that I wouldn't go into the yarn store and buy yarn, and of course I did. But I saw, actually, the jacket, because they carry a few Debbie Bliss things. And it was in a really big size and an extremely dark purpley mauve color. And I thought to myself, that's not quite as nice looking as it was in the photograph. So I really hope I like how it turns out. But it might have been more that it was just an extra large type size and it was in a much darker color yarn than I like. So I'm hoping that's why it just kind of looked a little overwhelming to me and not quite how I thought it would turn out. So I'm excited to knit that, but that's a ways off. Got a couple other things before that. And so in closing of this podcast tonight, I thought I would share a personal story with you. Something that happened to me during the week and I thought would be interesting to tell you about. My father is a wedding photographer and he photographed my wedding pictures and they're just beautiful. And I think my father's just very talented and wonderful. And one of my bridesmaids who had been in my wedding, she's actually getting married this June. And I knew that she had a very short time to find a photographer. And I only talked to her about once every 6 months, maybe a little bit more often than that, because she lives several hundred miles away from me. So I called her and I left her a message and I said, hey, just want to remind you that my dad is a wedding photographer, you know, because she knew me in high school. And I said, here's his number. You don't have to call him. I just wanted to let you know in case you were having trouble finding someone. You know, I won't be offended if you don't, whatever. So about a couple weeks later, my dad called me, and he told me that she had called him and made an appointment, and I was like, wow, that's really cool, because my dad, of course, is always asking me, hey, why don't you ever tell your friends when they're getting married to use me as a photographer, you know? And I always, it's just not something I think of. So I was all proud I remembered to tell her. And I was all proud she called him because I knew he'd really appreciate that. And so she had made an appointment with him to go see his photographs and all that good stuff. And my father, you know, he's a t-shirt and shorts kind of guy. So when a bride comes over, you know, my mom cleans. He gets all dressed up, puts on cologne. If he needs a haircut, mom sends him out for a haircut. So, you know, it's like anything. If you have a business, you have to get prepared for it. It takes some time. So he got all ready, and she didn't show up, and she didn't call him. So he called me up and told me, and I would say that neither of us was surprised because she can be kind of forgetful. And I just said, well, yeah, you know, whatever. That's her. That's the kind of thing she would do. My dad laughed, whatever. But the more I thought about it, the more I got kind of mad. Because I thought, you know, okay, if that was somebody she didn't know and just some photographer, whatever. But this is my dad. This is somebody she's known for many years and who knows her. I don't know. It just started to, like, bug me. I remember I was laying in bed, like, that night after I talked to my dad during the day. And I was thinking to myself, that wasn't cool. That really made me kind of mad, you know? So I wound up actually deciding to call her and leave a message. And when I thought about doing this podcast, I was actually going to get you guys feedback and see what you guys thought I should do because I was kind of torn. But it was festering and I had to call her. So I called her and I left a voicemail and I said, you know, if something happened, you know, and you couldn't go, I'm sorry and I apologize ahead of time if I'm being mean, but I just want to let you know that I've known you for so many years and you've, you know, done stuff like this before and been forgetful, and I've never for one moment ever been mad at you because, you know, we all have our personalities and sometimes she and I don't call each other back and we don't get mad at each other. We can talk once every 6 months and it's totally cool. So I basically said that in the message and I just said, you know, I'm really upset about this. I'm really mad and I don't think it was cool that you did that to my dad. Well, I didn't expect her to call back so quickly, but she did. She called me back the next day and, it was a little bit of a difficult phone call, not because she wasn't very gracious. She apologized and said she was going to call my dad and apologize that, you know, she really wanted to see his photographs and she knew that it would be hard to get a photographer, you know, because it was only like a month or two off till her wedding. And so she felt very bad, but then she told me, well, I was in Atlanta and because that's where her fiance is. He's in Atlanta, which is going to be really awesome because they bought a house out here and she'll be closer to me, which will be really nice because previously she was up in DC and I didn't even get to see her, but maybe once every 2 years. So she told me she was down in Atlanta visiting her fiance. They were looking at a house or they were closing on a house or something. And she said she saw a friend who she had not seen in a very long time. And then the friend got deathly ill with some kind of stomach problem and, was in the hospital on her deathbed and was going to die, and that she couldn't leave her because, you know, she was all alone and she hadn't seen this girl in forever and she felt so awful leaving her alone. And then I don't know what happened, but it sounded like she stayed with her for a week and then the girl got better and then she came home. And when she came home, she got my voicemail and she called me. So that was a little bit uncomfortable because, of course, I feel bad that I've called her and I've been mad at her for something that she couldn't help. But at the same time, I'm just sitting here thinking, what in the heck? This is just crazy. So, needless to say, other things like that have happened in the past with her, and it's been very similar circumstances. So, I don't know what to think. I just think she's just attracting a lot of bad luck or something. I don't know. So, I felt really bad. I felt bad about having called her. But I'm glad I did, because she said, well, I'm really glad you called me. You know, I wanted to know, and, you know, you and I can be honest with each other and just say how we feel. So, of course, I'm totally not mad at her anymore. And how can you be mad at somebody when they immediately say they're sorry and I'm going to call your dad and I'm going to apologize? So that was my little, that was my drama for the week. So I thought I'd share that with you guys. So one last thing. I would like to ask you, my audience, to do something for me. I want to take a poll. And any of you that have the time, if you could email me and tell me what your favorite yarn is and why it's your favorite yarn, I'd love to talk about it on my next show. So if you have time, please send me that in an email to podcast@pixiepearls.com. That basically concludes my podcast for this evening, and I hope you enjoyed it. I made it longer than last time. I believe it's around about 30 minutes. I really don't want to go over 30 minutes. I think that's a nice long podcast, anything over that, and I think you'll just get bored listening to my voice. I just want to thank you guys again for all the awesome feedback. It was so wonderful to receive your emails, and I just, some of the things that were said were just so kind and just made me feel so good because I was a little insecure about how I sounded, and I know I can talk fast sometimes, but I don't want to talk too slow, and I don't want to sound like I'm trying to have a radio voice, and it was a lot of fun getting all that feedback, and I don't know if on feedburner.com exactly how to read the statistics right now, but on my web server, it said I had, 2 days ago, I had 236 downloads of my MP3 file, and then on feedburner.com, it said I had 96 subscribers via iTunes. That's pretty cool. I was shocked by that. That was like, holy junk. That was neat. So I don't know how many people, you know, if they unsubscribe, if they decide they don't like it or whatever, but who cares? It was awesome. It was exciting, and it certainly motivates me to make more. And so, yeah, that concludes my podcast for tonight. Have fun knitting, you guys.